Well, he's doing double duty, and he's just that good at this sort of thing. This morning, in for Chris Renwick, Jason Rowe once again. He's a principal of Rowe Strategic, and now he takes off his hosting hat to be a fine guest. And we're going to talk about President Trump's trip to China, which is starting today. Matter of fact, Jason, nice to have you back. Did you enjoy, other than the hours, that's like saying, how did you enjoy? No, never mind. Other than the hours, how'd it go this morning?
Oh, I had fun, Paul W. I get up at 4 a.m. anyway, but wow. I took a shower a little earlier at this time. But no, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed being with Lloyd, and he saved me every time I ran. I got above my depth. He tapped in to save me.
Well, Lloyd's a great guy. That's a great team, and you're lucky to be a part of it. So can I ask, have you always gotten up at 4 a.m, or is this something special the cool guys are doing now?
No, I've always been a morning person. I can't keep my eyes open past 10 o'clock usually, but I like getting up in the morning. No one tends to bother you between 4 and 8 a.m., and I get a lot done. And that's by 9 o'clock, most of my thinking work is done, and then I can go screw around.
That's what my Kim tells me. She's a very early riser, too. The funny thing is, you say by 10 o'clock you can't keep your eyes open. About 10 o'clock at night, my eyes get as big as they're going to be all day long. And then I'm up till 1 or 2. I've always
done that. Nothing good happens after the streetlights come on, Paul W.
That's what Mom and Dad used to say, and similar to what Bo Schembechler used to say. Meanwhile, am I wrong in saying I'll be very frightened if President Trump at any time says, wow, she loves me. We get along great. He loves me.
I would be surprised if he doesn't say that. That's kind of, you know, how he approaches these things. I mean, it is going to be interesting. You know, we have the oligarch world tour in tow. But I think it underscores what is the importance of the relationship between the United States and China, and that's commerce. Obviously, there's a lot of saber rattling over Taiwan and, you know, the various influences that each country has in their respective hemispheres. But, you know, at the bottom of all of this, whether it is the espionage or the proxy, you know, battles in different countries, everything comes back to the economics of our economy and their economy and where we, how we coexist. You know, obviously they are the dominant power in Asia and we are the dominant power, not just in the Americas, but in the West, which includes Europe. And so, you know, we've kind of manufactured this rivalry and frankly, we've accelerated it. Back in 2000 and 2001, you know, we pushed to allow them to join the World Trade Organization. We extended permanent normal trade relations to them. And that was in part so that, you know, U.S. companies could go get cheap labor for manufacturing. And, you know, I didn't agree with that policy when it happened 25 years ago. And I think it's borne out to be a problem because we've eroded our manufacturing base in this country. And we've empowered our biggest economic rival with a huge population that we have to contend with. And, you know, we find ourselves kind of involved in this jousting with China over just about everything that happens on the global stage as a result.
They have never stopped stealing our intellectual property with blessings of the government. We just found the mayor in Arcadia, California, admitting that she's a Chinese spy,
yep.
Which means
yep.
There are 1,000 behind her. And
absolutely.
I just don't get it. Now we have 16 chief executives of major U.S. companies. You're looking at Elon Musk. You're looking at Tim Cook, still of Apple. And I've talked far more successful business people than me, people who would turn to me and ask me after several trips to Beijing and Shanghai for the auto shows over the several years about opening a plant in China. And I've talked every one of them out of it because at any moment, depending if you're doing really well, China would think nothing of nationalizing your company and taking it over. And I don't know how anyone would think they still wouldn't do that.
Well, not only that, I mean, you have to rely on some emissary between you and the government, and there's a lot of graft and bribery that is involved. I mean, it's almost impossible to do business in China as a U.S. company and not pay bribe. So it is a completely corrupt structure from top to bottom. We know this. But the benefit, I guess, of the cheap manufacturing is worth the bribes and corruption that U.S. companies have to involve themselves in order to get that cheap labor. I mean, I think one of the, advantages of the Trump tariff policy is that we reshore a lot of the manufacturing that we've exported to low-wage countries. Because we have, in many ways undermined our middle class for, those folks that aren't necessarily, pursuing college degrees, that work with their hands to provide a good quality of life in our country. Now you're seeing a resurgence. I mean, you're seeing a lot more layoffs in the white collar space, and you're seeing a lot of opportunities in the skilled trades and with AI changing what our economy looks like for the long term. We are going to see a lot more people here in the United States working with their hands. So I think that is one of the benefits of these tariffs, is bringing this manufacturing back to our country and not relying on foreign countries. And one of the things that's an objective of President Trump's visit, and some of the leaders that are business leaders in tow with him, is the chip situation. China is one of the largest manufacturers of the semiconductor chips that many of our technologies and our automobiles and our appliances rely on. And between that and rare earths, they have us over a barrel. And it's one of the things that keeps us probably on better terms with them than we should be.
So in a nutshell, Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, tell me what should or could come out of this meeting that should make us feel good or hopeful. Anything?
There's some speculation that maybe we are going to create a G2 type alliance. I just don't know that China is going to enter into any kind of alliance or agreement with us that doesn't involve them trying to take advantage of us. I don't think that we are quite as clever at exploiting the trust of our partners as the Chinese are. And when you look at the overt espionage, like you mentioned, the mayor of Arcadia and so many other examples around the country, the spying that we're finding from students at the University of Michigan, it's rampant. You've got the spy balloon that everyone forgot about just 4 years ago right, that was flying over our country. These are not, this is not a country to be trusted.
Amen to that. It's unfortunately the truth. It may sting, but it is the truth, and you have to face the truth when it's important news like this. Jason Rowe, thank you for filling in this morning for Chris Renwick and being with Lloyd, and thank you for being a great guest here in Focus on WJR. We appreciate you, Jason, very much.
Thank you, Paul W. Have a great day.
You do the same. Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, talking about the president's trip to China, which will be happening soon. I wonder if Eileen Wang, acting in the United States as an illegal spy for China and working her way up to being the mayor of a California city, I wonder if that'll come up in conversation, in polite conversation at dinner after the food testers test all of the president's food before he eats it. 12:29 at WJR.